I also invite you now to take your Bibles or your smartphone and turn to Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 6. As I think, I hope we all know, unless you're a guest or visitor, and if you are, welcome, but you can just kind of join us for this morning in this whole series, which is an overview of the entire Bible in a 9-month period, actually closer to 10 months. An overview is different than a Bible survey. In a Bible survey, you start in Genesis and you go all the way to Revelation. That's one way to look at the Bible. And then inductive Bible study is another method of doing Bible study. They're all good. This is also important, where you just look at one book or even one passage and you do a deep dive just into that one chapter or book. And all of them are for the purpose of being able to apply God's truth and God's word to our lives. But then there are Bible overviews where you kind of come up to about 30,000 feet and you look at how the pieces and the themes and the whole Bible and the narrative and the story all fit together. And that's what we're doing with Connect the Dots. We now move into the epistles of the New Testament, and here's what the epistles are. They were letters written by the apostles with apostolic authority, speaking the authoritative, inspired word of God into the life of the first Christians as they sought to take Jesus' life and death, resurrection, and ascension and apply it to life. So today, in about 15, maybe 20 minutes, I'm going to wrap up one giant theme. In some ways, this may be the hardest sermon I think I've ever preached for me. Let me tell you why. I have been focusing on this theme for over 40 years as a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to experience in and live out of the new life in Christ? And I still don't have it figured out. I struggled this week. I'm on my 6th draft. And I may change it while I'm preaching. I don't know. There's just so much to capture. Well, let's see what God can speak into our lives today. Because in the book of Romans, we see one of the biggest themes in life. It's why Jesus came. Let's unpack this together. Romans chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we shall certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old person, our old self, was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves or servants to sin. For a person who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives unto God. So, you also must reckon or consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Once again, will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, help us to understand, but also help us to apply and experience this truth of your life in us, of our union with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What is the new life in Jesus Christ? Let me just point out a great quote I found from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Archbishop Justin Welby, this week. It's a great quote. He says, "In Christ, God has done everything God thinks is necessary to reconnect us to his life. This is what salvation is. Man, how do we boil this whole thing down to a few important, not principles for living, but important realities in life as Christians? The whole Old Testament, which culminates and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and then goes forward because of his resurrection, what does it all come down to? Here's what it comes down to. Christ is in you, and you are in Christ. And then what that means, not only for you, but for the world. That's what it boils down to. The resurrection of Jesus flows directly from Easter into everyday living for believers in Jesus. Because Jesus lives, we live, both now and forever. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the resurrection and the life itself. The one who is simply believing in me shall live, even though he dies, and the one who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, after her brother Lazarus had been dead for 3 days, do you believe this? And she said, yes. What do you say? Believers, followers of Jesus, are those who not only have said yes, but it's a continual yes. Lord, I believe. What do we believe? We believe in Jesus Christ and are therefore united with his life for the rest of our lives. Because of Jesus, because he is alive, we have a new life. As Paul says in this passage, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life eternally, but also in this life. And what does baptism mean? It doesn't mean, it's not limited to the physical act of dunking or washing in water alone. That is important, water baptism. But that is only an outward demonstration of the invisible spiritual reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that God, the Holy Spirit, unites us fully with Jesus Christ and identifies us in him, with him, and that means that our life is totally immersed in his life. To baptize at its most basic means to immerse something in something else. We are completely immersed in Christ. Let me put that another way. You are marinated in Jesus. You are immersed in all of him. And all of what we've covered over the last few weeks, his kingdom, identity, and work, his life, his death, his resurrection, and now his ascension. He is our life, and he is your life. He is still living in us and through us by the work of the Holy Spirit every day. And Romans chapter 5 through 8, that whole section in Romans is a fabulous exploration of what this means for us. But today I just want to cover a few points. The new life in Christ means certain things. This passage talks about them. And so does the whole of the rest of the New Testament. So enjoy unpacking this theme over the next few months. First and foremost, we are given a new identity in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. This perhaps is the most important and central reality and is often overlooked in the Christian faith. In Christ, you are given a new identity. That new identity is Christ's identity. If you believe in him, you get a new identity as his, connected with God rather than cut off from God. In 2 Corinthians, the passage I quoted for you this morning, as a part of our confession of sin, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation in him. The old has gone, the new has come. Which is to say that because we are given a new identity in Christ through faith, we do not believe that the life of faith or the Christian life is a reformation project. That if you believe certain things and check off the belief do list and behave a certain way, God will show you better how to behave, and by doing a bunch of religious stuff, you can gradually improve bit by bit. We don't believe that at all. Let me just give you an example. I'm not picking on anybody here, but I just want to point it out. I love telling parents who drop their kids off with us for Sunday school so their kids can, as I've often heard, get a little bit of moral instruction. I always tell them this. By the way, that's a good motive. I'm not trying to cast aspersion on that. Good motive. But I say, I love letting them know, you know, that's not what we do here. We don't believe this is a religion for moral improvement so your kids will behave better. That's called moralism. That's not what we're about, and that's not what Jesus is about. It's about this. We are completely His. It's about a completely new being, a new identity in Christ, period. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus when Nick came at night to ask Jesus what it's all about. It's about a new birth. It's not about following a bunch of lists of things, religious practices. We've spent the whole fall and winter teaching that God works through a relationship of trust in God's work called the covenant. And the covenant is God giving us Himself, not something. And what God creates in our trusting Him with our lives is an identity in God. Everything in life flows out of that, a new identity which Christ gives us. It is His life, His identity. If you have never simply trusted Jesus with your life, then I hope you do. And when you do, behold, the new comes. And then, following the new identity, there is a new direction. A new direction in life is set. Out of that new personhood in Jesus, a whole bunch of things begin to flow. First, this new direction in life is set. And this is one way of understanding what repentance and repenting is all about. Repenting is simply when we turn from self and brokenness and all that it means, and we turn towards Jesus with our life. That's what it means. It's a turning from, moving away from Him and moving toward Him, and then that direction becomes permanent. And it becomes permanent because we are in Him. And there are two specifics that I really want to point out this morning. They are important. First, when we are in Christ and we have our new identity, we get a new direction. And what that means is your wanter changes. Your wanter can change in a moment. I've seen it happen with people when they came to faith in a conversion experience. That happens to some people. For other people, it's a journey of 1,000 small steps. But when it was really happening, they have a new identity and a new direction, and everything they want in life changes. Rather than wanting what we want, all of a sudden we have a new inner GPS set to Jesus that adds wanting what Jesus wants. It's just what we want. But second, our will takes longer to follow. What we want and then what we actually do can take a long time to get in sync. But this is what the whole Christian daily walk of faith is about. It's not a sprint. It's not a race. It's not a run. It's a walk. It is a daily walk in this new direction of turning toward Jesus and doing His will. There's a word for this. It's a fancy word. It's a good one. It's called sanctification, which means becoming like God or becoming like Christ. In other words, Jesus himself is our new direction, and we are taken up into his ongoing life with the Father. Therefore, over time, we become more and more like him, and it is his work in us. And I have a GIF this morning. You know what a GIF is? It's a clip that repeats itself. And this GIF is about what sanctification is like. Roll the clip. We're going to watch it 3 or 4 times because it just perfectly illustrates what this is actually like. In other words, what direction are you headed? If you are a believer in Jesus, you are like this GIF. Okay. We're going to watch it again. That's me. Hey, don't laugh. That's you. Okay. You enter the new life with Christ, and it's like you mess up, but you're swept along in his life, and you're going to knock your head once in a while, and you're going to fall down, and you're going to get up, and you're going to, guess what? Here's the good news. Here's the good news. That's enough. Now stop the technology. Here's the good news. This is such good news. You are caught up in Jesus' ongoing life. And even when you fall, even when you mess up, even when you wander, not if, even when you wander, he's taking you to the top of that escalator over time. Grace is God giving you himself in Jesus. But that direction is a new direction that he gives you by his own life. And then there's something else that's new. It's called a new worldview. It's a new way of seeing everything in life and everyone around you. This gets set in place over time by Jesus, but I do want to say that in Christ, the way we see what's going on around us, the people, our culture, world events, ourselves, because of this new life, it all changes. Our view sees so much more. I remember when I came to faith as a high schooler, my view of life and of people and of myself went from here in a matter of about a year to here, and the rest of my life has just been opening up. The way I see everything is constantly new and changing and different, from narrow to the breadth of God's good creation and all of the people and everything in it and how God sees it. And what it means for Jesus to redeem it by his resurrection. The universe becomes meaningful and purposeful, not some accident that came about as a result of time plus chance. It's good. Everything that happens is important. We begin to see the effects of human rejection of God and our desire to be our own gods much more clearly. We see the depth of how it messes people up, including ourselves. And instead of being judgmental, we become much more compassionate, much more understanding of the people around us. We also see more than we ever have before, God moving, God working to reclaim everything, the whole mess. We see it, and then we understand Jesus' fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament and of life itself in a completely new way. Our worldview becomes new. This is called, in the New Testament, gaining the mind of Christ. It's a new way of seeing the world. His resurrection and ascension give this to us. And then we get a new character. This one takes time, but it does happen. Over time, we experience Christ's life beginning to show up in how we actually live. A newness of character, emerges. And it's not from us. It's not about self-improvement or fulfilling our potential or finding a secret code to follow. I remember when that book came out a few years ago, The Secret. You know what the secret was? Be nice to people, they'll be nice to you. $15. I remember thinking, I want to write a book called An Even Better Secret for less than half the price. Give your life to Jesus, and he'll make you new. God's grace in Christ is God giving us himself every day by the power of the Spirit. It is sheer gift. It creates this new identity, a new direction, a new worldview. But grace does not mean a lack of effort. The new life in Christ produces within us incredible effort to grow. Grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning anything by it. It's like a shoot in a tree at this time of year. Laurel and I have a tree in our front window and it's just reaching for the sky. Every time in the spring, when spring has really sprung, plants just reach and go for it for a while. The sap is flowing. Effort. But it's not earning. It's just what the tree does. The branch is connected to the trunk. What else can it do? If we are in Christ, what else can we do? But over time, produces fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, he meant every day, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do not a single thing. I want to tell you something this morning. I've gone through some real dry periods in my life as a Christian. I've never doubted my faith in Christ or his reality. But I've been dry. I've done some wandering and doubting and had some deep struggles and become dry. And I know that Jesus is the gardener who knows how to prune me so that I bear more fruit. And let me tell you, when he does that, it hurts. I can almost hear trees or plants when I'm pruning them. Ow! What? That was a branch that was producing beautiful rose blooms. What did you cut that off for? So it'll be more later. He knows what he's doing. It was love. It always is. But there were some things in my life I've known, and there's still a lot of them left that he has to remove so that his new life in me can flourish. What's dead in your life this morning? And maybe Jesus needs to remove it. You know what I mean. You just name it before him. Just name it. And I'm not just talking about sin, the obvious things. What's dead inside? Let him do his masterful gardening work in you. And then there's one more new thing that happens in Jesus. Jesus creates a new generation in and through us in the world. A new generation of his followers and believers in him. A fruit tree produces fruit for one purpose, according to the tree. So that that fruit tree can produce another little tree. What is the fruit? It is a seed surrounded by a pod of something that will enable it to enter into the ground and then grow. We think fruit is just for eating. But it's really about the seeds for the next generation of what makes that, whatever it is, apples, pears, grapes. That's what the fruit actually is. Jesus is working his life in you in order to produce his new life in the lives of others. Now, let me just point something out. Jesus could have chosen another way to do that. Would have been much more effective. I remember the story in Acts chapter 10 where God sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit sent an angel to Peter to take a two-day trip to go to a different city, and then sends an angel to a person in that city, a guy named Cornelius, to tell Cornelius a guy named Peter is going to come and is going to tell you the good news. And I thought, man, why all the effort? Why not just send the angel to Cornelius and say, hey, you're in. You believe in Jesus, you're in. Because that's the way God has chosen to work. It's through you and me to produce a new generation in Christ through your life. And when Peter shows up, Cornelius believes and is brought into this new thing, this ongoing, living, burgeoning, sappy, fruity reality that just is like that escalator. It doesn't stop. We are swept up into the life of Jesus. So here's what I'm going to say. Enjoy the fruit of the new life in Christ, but expect new trees from your life. Just expect it. Okay, here's the good news. It took a little longer than 15 minutes, but we just covered most of the New Testament this morning. Congratulations. Look, just remember this morning. Jesus' new life is constantly making you and me new and the world new. It's making it all new because he is real. And this, I just want you to know, this is what we are all about as a church. Because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. I just want to close with the words from Archbishop Welby that I read when I started. In Christ, God has done everything God thinks is necessary to reconnect us to his life. This is what salvation is. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Lord, oh Lord Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, you have immersed us in your ongoing life before the Father. It happens every day. It is like that well of water you spoke about to the Samaritan woman. That well of water just welling up within us to be just like eternal life in this life leading to the next. We praise you and thank you and ask that you help us simply to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.